Welcome to the Panther Creek Baptist Church podcast, where each week we bring you Pastor Erdy Carter's message from God's Word and help you apply it to your daily life. If you want to join us on Sunday, visit pcbco.org for the time and location.
Luke chapter 10. Friday afternoon, we were getting ready for, I don't know what number Thanksgiving meal this was, but my wife looks at me and says, "Would you just not rush us today?" Now, my wife understands me well enough to know that when I've got my mind fixed on something, it's time to go. Anybody here have somebody who is not patient at times? You didn't have to raise your hand. Don't point, just, you know. Her words to me were simply, we were headed to my parents' house, and so she was like, "Just don't rush us out the door. Spend time with your parents." I'm thinking, do you know my family? But I didn't say that. And then when we left my family, Pam was like, I know we're going back tonight, but just I need some time at mom's. I'm the type of person, when I know that, hey, you know, I look forward to vacation or wherever we're going, but when it's time to come home, let's go. Buckle in, sit down, hold on, and we're coming to the house. And whatever that is, whenever that is, that's me. I get my mind fixed there. Pam fusses at me if we're going someplace and I'm up and dressed and I'm like, "Well, let's go. Come on." And she goes, "Well, you've not gotten up, fixed breakfast, packed everything, done all this. You've just gotten up, made yourself pretty, and now you're ready to go." Yes, and so we're ready to go. Sometimes we miss things. We get so focused in on the wrong things. This morning I want to finish up our Pray First series by talking about a God-first lifestyle. Sometimes I think we can be so busy, so focused on something that we miss the things of God. And I want to challenge you this morning to slow down and see the things of God. So if you have your Bibles and you're at Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 38 through 42. Let's stand as we honor the reading of God's holy word. Verse 38 says, "When they were traveling, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet, was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. She came up and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me alone to serve? So tell her to give me a hand.' The Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her.'" Let's pray together. Father, speak now. May we hear you. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Here's your big idea this morning. It's real simple. Growing believers continually seek Christ and His will while fighting their sinful desires. Growing believers continually seek Christ and His will while fighting their sinful desires. This is a simple text. We've heard this story before, and we've even somewhat compared Martha and Mary at times in different moments. This morning, what I want to do is I just want to walk through this text, and I want us to see what a godly lifestyle looks like. And I'm going to do it by looking at Martha, and we're going to see where she's wrong, and we're going to reverse it and talk about what needs to happen. So if you're taking notes, let me give you the first one this morning. A God-first lifestyle focuses on Christ rather than the task for Christ. Martha was convinced, no doubt, that she was doing the right thing. Martha wanted to make sure that everything was good for Christ. She wanted him to be comfortable. And so what she was doing was trying to make sure he had a good cooked meal. She was trying to make sure everything was just made perfect. But in her doing so, she was missing Christ. And sometimes we find ourselves in those same situations. We get so caught up in the things that we're doing that we miss Christ. Christmas is a perfect example. As we come we've got to buy presents. We've got to wrap presents. We've got to put on the calendar where we're going to be, what we're going to do. And all of a sudden, the task of everything for Christmas becomes so overwhelming, we miss Christ at Christmas. And that's not what God wants us to do. That's not what he wants us to do. Now, listen, Martha is already doing what Paul would write about in Romans, and that talking about being a good host or to share in the work and give hospitality in Romans 12. There's a place for that. And Martha was doing that, but she was missing Christ in the middle of it. As a church, churches can miss Christ because our focus is on everything else. We come to church because of the fellowship, not because of Christ. We serve because we want to make sure it's a good time. We want to make sure everybody enjoys their time, not because of Christ. And the thing is, when those things take over, we become focused on the task for Christ and not Christ. And we begin to miss Christ altogether. We begin to miss the most important thing. Do you ever miss anything because you're focused in the wrong direction? My son would get a kick out of this. We pulled out Wednesday, headed to Pam's mom. I turned and looked over here at the church grounds and saw something, was focused on it. And, you know, Ron Fuquay had a tree cut down over by the parsonage. But there's still this big stump. Guess what Ernie hit as he was leaving, focused on the church? Drew's in the back seat laughing. We do that. We focus on the wrong thing. And when we focus on the wrong thing, we lose sight. Martha. There's nothing wrong with Martha. Her focus is just in the wrong spot. This Christmas, can I challenge you to put your focus in the right spot? Figure out what that is. Oh, there's still things to do. We've got a refrigerator calendar that's covered up already for December. I'm praying for January already to get here. But don't miss Christ. Now, the second thing we see in this text with Martha is a God-first lifestyle finds joy in Christ rather than the actions of others. A God-first lifestyle is going to find joy in Christ rather than the actions of others. Anybody get frustrated by the actions of others? Yeah. We get frustrated, and that frustration drives us crazy. That frustration causes us to lash out. That frustration causes us to get angry. Martha, in this text, when we read that, we find ourselves understanding Martha. Because she had a sister, verse 39 says, named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet. And then verse 40 tells us that she's distracted by the task because, Lord, don't you care? Martha got so concerned about the task, and she got frustrated with her sister. She was focused on the actions of others or the lack of action on her sister's part. And when we focus our attention there, we miss Christ. Oh, the church is notorious for doing this. We sometimes get so wrapped up in things and what people are or not doing that we forget to find joy in Christ. We forget that it's all about Christ and not about us. Our hearts are so focused in the wrong spot. Let me give you a good example of this. I've had the privilege to serve a couple of churches who had buses that required a commercial driver's license. And because of that, I have my CDL. But one of the churches in particular had a group of people who oversaw the buses. And they were great people who loved to serve. But they were so used to controlling the buses that they wouldn't let anybody else drive. There came a point where they were getting older and we needed drivers, and so the church publicized, we need bus drivers to get your CDL. We'd love for you to do that. We'll even pay for the physical. And as the church was doing that, I had some people come to me and said, "Hey, I got my CDL because they said that once before and they would never let me drive." This is a person who had a great driving record. There was nothing about the person that would keep them driving. It was the people just wanted to control. And because of that, the buses began to sit. What once was a ministry that was taking people to hear the gospel, to youth the camps, to senior adult trips, to the Billy Graham Center in North Carolina, to wherever, the buses had to sit because what happened was there was a group of people who missed the joy in seeing people serving and focused on the actions of holding it the way they wanted it to. When we are a God-first lifestyle, we find joy in people serving. There ought to be a place for everybody in the church to serve. In fact, you ought to serve the church some way. Regardless of your age, regardless of your past, there ought to be a place, and we should find joy when a new person serves. Now somebody will say, "Well, the nominating committee has never asked me." If you've never served on the nominating committee, and I've not met with our nominating committee here yet, but I've met with enough nominating committees to know they call a lot of people, and they get a lot of no's. And sometimes it's easy to find the ones who, "Well, I know they're going to say yes." We got to find joy in Christ rather than in others' actions. If we find joy in Christ, no matter what happens, we're going to recognize that God is still going to be on his throne. God is still going to be working. If we can find joy in Christ, no matter what that person does to us on Frederica, we can still smile and say God is good rather than honk and tell them they're number one. Finding joy in Christ has nothing to do with what other people do. It has everything to do with where our heart is and where our mind is and where we're growing. Martha finds her spot here. She's serving, but she's distracted. She can't find joy because every time she walks in that room, she sees Mary at the feet of Jesus. And that's a problem. So the question for you this morning is, who keeps you from having joy in Christ? who, if they walked in today, whether they work with you, your neighbor, a family member, a church member, who, if they walked in this morning and sat next to you, you would not hear a word I said because they stole your joy. Can I tell you, it's not the person, it's you. You are the one who needs to find joy. Oh, they may need to repent. They may need to do a lot. But the only person who can steal your joy is you. You are the only one. And listen, I can tell you from experience how hard that is. Because I have walked in some paths that I have been frustrated with people and allowed them to steal my joy. In fact, a few months ago, that could have been my story. But I'll give you a resource if that's you today. There's a book called Don't Let the Enemy Have a Seat at Your Table by Louis Giglio. All comes from Psalms 23. It's a powerful little book that reminds us that God places us at the table with our enemy surrounding us. Psalm 23. He does that for a purpose. For the two of us to have a conversation. We can focus on Christ. Don't let somebody steal your joy. Martha is struggling to find joy. The third thing we find in this text is a God-first lifestyle fights to make things about Christ rather than themselves. Martha struggles. And so what does she do? She takes her anger out on Mary and who? Jesus. I can tell you, you're never going to win when you take your anger out on Jesus. But she takes her anger out on Mary and Jesus. She comes in the room and says, "Don't you care? Don't you see what I'm doing? Don't you care what I'm doing? I'm doing all this for you." And there she sits. I wonder how long it took her to get those words out of her mouth before she realized, oops. Do you realize Jesus doesn't care what you do as long as you sit at his feet? Do you realize he doesn't need you? But it's a privilege to serve him. He can do it all without you. But it's a privilege to serve him. And here's the thing. For those of you going, "Preach it, brother, that means I don't have to do anything in the church." No, no, no. Because Paul will tell us in 1 Corinthians that whatever we do it all for the glory of God. And if you have a heart that seeks God first, you want to serve. You want to be a part of what God's doing. And you want to make much about him. Martha is struggling. She is frustrated with him. Text tells us Martha, verse 40, Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Tell her to give me a hand." Martha was thinking about herself only. We see over and over in Scripture where we see what God does when people put God first. We see where Daniel in the lion's den. We see Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. We see Joshua. We see Job when everything falls apart, but he never will curse God. But the good news is we also see in Scripture when people mess up and God offers grace. And what happens when they put them first? Peter, you remember Peter. Peter denies Christ how many times at the end? Three times. At the end, three times he denies Christ. Why? Because Peter is, well, he's thinking about himself. If I tell them I am a Christ follower, I'm in the middle of this people who will take me and put me on the cross. Peter is all about himself at this moment, thinking, I want to save my own skin. Every man for himself. Jesus, you're on your own. I'm leaving. But that at the moment he denies Christ and the rooster crows, there's this sense of guilt. Why? Because Peter had said, I will follow you no matter what. And he didn't do that. And in our Sunday school lesson today, we read where the empty tomb, the angel told Mary, go and tell the disciples and Peter. Why and Peter? Because Peter needed the grace that can only come from Christ. So you read in Acts 4:19, Peter and John answered. They've been preaching the gospel. They've been telling people about the good news. They've been making it about Christ rather than themselves. And they were called in on the carpet by the Sanhedrin. And they said, you need to quit preaching the gospel. Acts 4:19-20. Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than to God, you decide. For we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Peter had a change. It's the grace of God. Peter put God first in his lifestyle. And when the moment came again for him to be told to be quiet, he boldly stood up and said, I can't. A God first lifestyle fights to make things about Christ rather than themselves. Last thing I want you to catch in this text is a God first lifestyle follows what Christ teaches rather than their sinful ways. Follows Christ's teaching than their sinful ways. We close this text. In verse 41, the Lord answered Martha and said this, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. Now think about that for a moment. What was the one thing necessary, church? Jesus. What he was teaching. That's the most important thing. And he was not about to take that away. But a God-first lifestyle follows what Christ teaches rather than their sinful ways. If this was the last time we would read about Martha, we'd wonder about her. But it's not the last time. For you see, there's a moment that happens later has to do with the death of a brother. Lazarus was Jesus' friend. Lazarus is sick and dying. In fact, Mary and Martha send word to Jesus to say, your friend Lazarus is sick and dying. And you know what Jesus does? He waits. Isn't that bring comfort to you? I'm sick and dying and I need Jesus and he waits. And then he goes. Why? Because he needs Lazarus good and dead. Comforting words. But when Jesus gets there, Martha goes to him. Listen to what Martha says in John's gospel. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Yet even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. There's a change in Martha. Martha understands the power of Christ. If you'd have been here. But even now I know whatever you ask will be given. How did she move from the girl who was in the house worried about the dinner to one of the second most famous words spoken about Jesus in the New Testament. Because her lifestyle changed. Because she learned something there about putting Christ first. Where's Christ at in your heart? There's no question in this room, I would say that there are people who say, oh, Christ is my Savior and my Lord. You know, those are two different terms of God. This weekend I was doing some reading on the different names of God throughout Scripture. And what we see is a variety of names. God's our Comforter, our Guide, our Prince of Peace. But then there's this name, Savior and Lord. He's your Savior when he saves you from your sins. You need to be rescued. I needed to be rescued. At the age of 8, I came to a place in my life that I realized that need. If you've confessed Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you recognize that need. But Lord is a different word. Lord acknowledges him as King of your life, as ruler of your life, as the one who oversees your life. And sometimes I'm afraid we only live with Jesus as our Savior, and we never acknowledge him as our Lord. And if that's the case, then we never develop a God-first lifestyle. We can talk about a Savior, but it's hard for us to talk about how he leads us through still waters, how he makes us lie down in green pastures, how he sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies. This morning, do you have a God-first lifestyle? Have you put God first in your decisions, in the way you spend your money, in the way you treat your family, in the way you react to people on the street? Where's God?
Thanks for listening. If you have questions or a prayer request, you can email us at pcbc@pcbco.org.